Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. It is August 15th, 2005. Welcome, everybody, to the Golden Age of Comic Books. This is Bill Jourdain, your host. We are very glad you're here. We've got a good show for you today. We're going to talk about the Golden Age Flash and how he came to be and how he existed through the Golden Age of Comic Books and on into the Silver Age. But before we talk about the Golden Age Flash, let me talk about a couple of items of interest today. First of all, I know that I've had emails and general questions about the resources that I use in putting together the Golden Age of Comic Books. And I'll tell you the truth, there are all kinds of resources out there for the Golden Age of Comic Books and for comic books generally. I've mentioned on almost every show the Grand Comic Book Database Project. That is one of the best resources on the World Wide Web to research comic book information and comic book history. But there are a lot of other sources out there. A lot of books have been published over the years about comic books. Of course, the Overstreet Comic Book Price Guide has been published for many years and contains a wealth of information about comic book values and comic book history. But one of my favorite resources that I rely upon from time to time in researching the Golden Age of Comics is the Photo Journal Guide to Comic Books that was published in 1989 by Ernie Gerber and Mary Gerber. This is a two-volume, hardbound set, large-size format, and it contains over 21,000 color photographs of comic books from 1935 through 1965. It also contains a relative value index of comic books, and it contains a relative scarcity index of comic books. Before the internet, this was probably one of the premier resources for researching comic book information, and just about every comic book that was published between 1935 and 1965 was included in this work. From time to time, Ernie Gerber would publish little stickers that would go in places where there were no photographs of the comics, and that, of course, ceased a number of years ago, but if you have an opportunity to pick up the two-volume set, the Photo Journal Guide to Comic Books, you won't be disappointed. It will provide you with lots of great information about the Golden Age of comics and lots of wonderful cover images of comic books that were published, as I said, throughout the Golden Age and the Silver Age of comic books. Now, Gerber didn't just publish the Photo Journal Guide to Comic Books for the Golden Age and Silver Age, but he also published a two-set work on Marvel Comics a couple of years later, and it was a little bit smaller in size than his Golden Age work, but still a worthwhile resource to pick up, and contains photos of almost every Marvel comic that was published during the heyday of that company. So I would recommend that you go out and take a look at the Gerber Photo Journal Guide to Comic Books, both the Marvel editions and the regular editions. I'm pretty sure they're still available in various sources on the internet. You can find them probably in comic book stores. I know the comic book store here in my hometown has a set of those books available, so they shouldn't be real hard to find. So check them out, and I know you will not be disappointed. Several podcasts ago, I played an interview with Ben Samuels of Heritage Comics Auctions. We talked about a number of interesting topics, but most importantly to me, we talked about the upcoming auction of the original cover art for Batman number 11. Well, the auction's over, and the cover sold, and I won't keep you in suspense. The cover sold for $195,500. Now, I don't know if that's a record for original cover art, but it certainly is probably one of the highest values ever achieved for original cover art. So congratulations to Heritage Comics on that wonderful sale of original cover art for Batman number 11, Fred Ray cover with Jerry Robinson inks. It was a pleasure for me to be able to see that cover live and in person at the San Diego Comic-Con International. I actually got to hold it, there's a photograph on our page on goldenagecomics.libsyn.com, so if you want to take a look at that cover, check out the photograph. Really just a fantastic piece of Golden Age comic book history, and again, I applaud Heritage for bringing that to the market and for the price that it achieved, $195,500, that I understand did include the buyer's premium. All right, well, let's talk about the Golden Age Flash. Who was this guy? Where did he come from? And why is he important to the Golden Age of comic books? We've talked a little bit about the Golden Age Flash in one of our earlier podcasts where we discussed the Justice Society of America. The Golden Age Flash was one of the key members of that superhero team-up group and was featured prominently in their stories. But the Flash didn't get his start in the pages of All-Star Comics. He got his start in the pages of Flash Comics. Flash Comics first premiered with its January 1940 issue. That was issue number one. And the Flash story in that comic was produced by Harry Lampert and Gardner Fox, the great Gardner Fox. And the origin story, as it was told, involved a college student named Jay Garrick. Ironically, his nickname was Leadfoot Garrick because he wasn't very fast and was kind of clumsy, particularly on the football field. And he was also studying the sciences, and he was involved in an experiment with hard water, and his professor had asked him to perform a very crucial experiment after a number of years of working through this process. And as Garrick was involved in this chemical experiment, he stopped to take a smoke break, and being clumsy, he knocked over the chemical beaker on the table, and fumes and vapors erupted from the broken glass. Garrick was quickly overcome by the fumes from the hard water and was rendered unconscious. A while later, his professor came to the room, finding Garrick unconscious on the floor, called for help, and Garrick was taken to a hospital where he remained for several weeks. During his hospitalization, a number of tests were performed on him as he was close to death, and it was determined by the scientists and physicians who were testing Jay Garrick that the combination of chemicals that he had inhaled and that had affected his body were likely to render him the fastest man on Earth. And sure enough, as Garrick was finally released from the hospital after many weeks there, he was indeed the fastest man on Earth. In fact, he could outrun bullets, he could catch them out of the air, and do other amazing speed feats as the fastest human on Earth. Garrick, in that first story, was enlisted by his love interest, Joan Williams, who later became his wife. When her father was kidnapped, Garrick finally donned the familiar Flash costume, became the superhero known as the Flash, and rescued Joan's father from the criminals who had kidnapped him. Thus began the Golden Age Flash adventures in Flash Comics number 1 in January of 1940. Now, the Flash wasn't the only superhero in this book. There were several others in the Flash Comics book, including, most notably, the Hawkman. And beginning with issue number 6 of Flash Comics, the Hawkman and the Flash alternated cover appearances until the end of that run of that title in with issue number 104 in February of 1949. The Flash had his second cover appearance on issue number 6, and, as I said, alternated covers thereafter. There were some really great Golden Age Flash covers, and again, if you go to the Photo Journal Guide to Comic Books put out by the Gerbers, you'll see all of those reprinted there. Of course, you can go to the Grand Comic Book Database Project and take a look at the same covers. Probably one of the most classic covers of Flash Comics was number 8. This is a wonderful Moldoff Flash cover where the Flash is running through flames to rescue a man who was tied to a chair. Really just one of the great Golden Age covers and a classic in its own right. There was a World War II cover on Flash Comics. The February 1941 issue number 14 had a Nazi plane firing bullets at a woman in distress on the ground and Flash racing to her rescue to catch the bullet out of the air. A lot of other great Flash covers throughout the run of that title. But Flash didn't exist only in Flash Comics. He also had his own title called All-Flash. Now, most characters who got their own titles had the books named after them. But in the case of the Flash, he was already appearing in Flash Comics. So what happened was the Flash was given his own title, but it was called All Flash. That book began in the summer of 1941 with issue number 1, and that was a quarterly book through issue number 5, and it was known as All Flash Quarterly during that period of time. All Flash continued through issue number 32. That was the December 1947, January 1948 issue. And as was the title, it was All Flash. Only Flash appeared in that title. Flash also appeared in issues of Comic Cavalcade. Number 1 appeared in the winter of 1942-43, and that book continued on through issue number 64 in July of 1954. However, the last superhero issue and the last issue in which the Flash appeared of Comic Cavalcade was issue number 29. That was the October-November 1948 issue. After issue number 29, starting with issue number 30, Comic Cavalcade became a funny animal book and continued with that type of story through the end of the run with number 64. And of course, as we previously discussed, Flash also appeared in the pages of All-Star Comics, starting with the first issue and then, of course, with the beginning of the Justice Society of America stories. Flash was a regular member of that team. He did take a little bit of a leave of absence from the group, but came back as a regular member of the Justice Society of America to fight crime with that superhero team until All-Star Comics number 57 in February-March 1951. And that issue of All-Star Comics marked the very last appearance of the Golden Age Flash in the Golden Age of Comics. Now, Jay Garrick wasn't the only super speedster who existed in the Golden Age of Comics. There were others. The Whizzer was one. He was in the Marvel group of comics. Quicksilver from Quality Comics was another fastest human on Earth. Johnny Quick, another DC character, certainly existed during the Golden Age of Comics. And there was even a funny animal super speedster. He was called the Terrific What's It, and believe it or not, actually wore a duplicate of the Flash's costume that was so prominent during the Golden Age of Comics. And speaking of the Flash's costume, it was very reminiscent of Mercury. The Flash wore a silver helmet on his head with wings, a red shirt with a yellow lightning bolt across his chest, a yellow belt with a lightning bolt on the buckle, blue pants with lightning bolts down the side, and red shoes with Mercury wings coming out the back. So he certainly appeared to be one of the fastest humans on Earth when whizzing through the stories in which he appeared in the Golden Age of Comics, and of course was very recognizable to the fans of the Golden Age Flash on the newsstands of the time. Now, if you're interested in reading Golden Age Flash stories, they have been reprinted on a number of occasions throughout the years. Most prominently, as it did with so many of its great superheroes, DC Comics has reprinted in a series of archive editions the adventures of the Golden Age Flash. They appear starting with the Golden Age Flash Archives Volume 1 and continue on from there. Those issues contain the stories of the Golden Age Flash from Flash Comics and other sources. Now, the Flash stories in All-Star Comics have also been reprinted in, of course, a complete set of all of the issues of All-Star Comics starring the Justice Society of America, and those have now been completed by DC Comics. DC has also reprinted Adventures of the Golden Age Flash in a book titled The Greatest Flash Stories Ever Told, and also you will find reprints of Golden Age Flash Adventures in some of their treasury-sized books called Famous First Edition, and there was one for Flash Comics number 1. There was also a Flash Comics number 1 Millennium Edition. So, number of sources out there for reprinting Golden Age Flash stories. All of them show the great and wonderful stories rendering the Golden Age Flash. So what happened to the Golden Age Flash after his last appearance in the Golden Age of Comics in All-Star Comics number 57 in 1951? Well, in 1956, in September, October of that year, The Flash returned, brought to us by Julius Schwartz. Well, almost the return of the Golden Age Flash, but not quite. In Showcase number 4 in 1956, the September-October issue of that magazine, DC Comics brought us a new Flash, Barry Allen, a criminal scientist who worked for the local police department, became the Flash in another chemical experiment gone awry, and once again, we had another fastest man on Earth. Now, this wasn't Jay Garrick, and it wasn't even close to being the same costume, but interestingly, the origin stories later in the run of the Silver Age Flash, Barry Allen, tell us that subconsciously he was influenced by his reading of the Golden Age Flash stories, and that's why he became the Silver Age Flash when he was doused with the chemicals in his laboratory. But we did see the Golden Age Flash again, and he finally came back to join us in Flash Comics, but not the same Flash Comics that he had sped through in the Golden Age of Comics. That had ended with issue number 104. With the success of the Silver Age Flash, who began his appearances in Showcase number 4, and who had several other appearances in the Showcase magazine, DC decided to revive the numbering of the Golden Age Flash magazines, but with the Silver Age Flash. So issue number 105 began Barry Allen and the Silver Age Flash appearances. But the Golden Age Flash came back to join us in the pages of Barry Allen's magazine with issue number 123. That September 1961 issue featured a story called The Flash of Two Worlds. And in that story, Barry Allen is transported across a dimensional barrier to another world that later became known as Earth 2, where it is discovered all of Golden Age superheroes from the DC Comics universe were residing. And the Silver Age Flash, Barry Allen, encounters the Golden Age Flash, Jay Garrick, and they team up to fight crime together. And that begins a series of Golden Age DC superhero, Silver Age DC superhero team-ups in the pages of the Justice League of America and other titles. So a really great introduction of Golden Age heroes began with Flash Comics number 123, and that classic issue is now highly sought after by collectors who want to enjoy reading the stories of the revival of the Golden Age DC superheroes, and in this case, the Golden Age Flash. Fortunately, DC has also reprinted in its archive editions the Adventures of the Silver Age Flash, so I believe you can go out and get copies of the Silver Age Flash adventures in the archive editions, including the story from Flash 123, where the Golden Age Flash, Jay Garrick, was reintroduced. Jay Garrick continues to make appearances even today in modern age comics and survives as one of the great Golden Age superheroes from the Golden Age of comic books. Now, I mentioned earlier in the show a great resource for looking up information about the Golden Age of comic books, that being the Photo Journal Guide to Comic Books. There have been a lot of other resources over the years, but if you're interested in really learning more about the history of some of the Golden Age comics and comics that came after that, you might want to check out some of the works of Les Daniels. Les started his publication of historical work about comic books way back in 1971 when he published Comics, C-O-M-I-X, A History of Comic Books in America. And this hardbound book, which I've seen available at comic book conventions and probably on Amazon and other places, it's certainly been out of print for many years, contains a very interesting historical perspective about comic books, but from the vantage point of 1971. And it reprints many stories from EC, Marvel, Golden Age DC, and even has a section on underground comics that I think you will find very interesting. So if you can get a copy of Comics, the History or a History of Comic Books in America, check it out. It's a neat resource for the history of comic books. and less in recent years, has also produced some very interesting and graphically wonderful works. He has put out a couple of sets called Masterpiece Editions. One was the Batman Masterpiece Edition, and the other was the Superman Masterpiece Edition. Both of these sets focus on the Golden Age origins of those characters. They have books inside of them detailing the history of those characters. They also have some very interesting collectible items in those, some action figure type dolls, more of the G.I. Joe type of doll, and other interesting information about Batman and Superman. He's also put out a book called The Complete History of the Batman and other information, and really has worked hard to provide a really neat historical glimpse on those two characters of the Golden Age of comics. So check out the works of Les Daniels. I think you'll find them very enjoyable, and certainly will provide you a much more in-depth historical perspective about some of the Golden Age of comics superheroes. And of course, one of the other great books that was published about the Golden Age superheroes was Jules Feiffer's book, published in 1965. That book was called The Great Comic Book Heroes, and was a hardback book and contained a number of comic book reprints from the Golden Age of comics. It contained stories about Superman and Batman and Captain Marvel, the Human Torch, the Flash, who we've been talking about today, the Green Lantern, the Spectre, Hawkman, Wonder Woman, Submariner, Captain America, Plastic Man, and the Spirit. So a really neat book from 1965, of course, at the very beginning of the Marvel explosion in 1965. So an interesting time to be reading about someone's perspective on the Golden Age superheroes. This book not only contains the reprints of the stories that I mentioned, but it contains about a 50-page introduction where there's a discussion about those particular Golden Age superheroes that I mentioned who have stories reprinted in this book. So if you can find a copy of The Great Comic Book Heroes by Jules Feiffer, check it out. I think you'll find it very interesting, and that it provides a very, very interesting glimpse into the history of some of the Golden Age superheroes. Now, of course, one of the reasons that comic books are still alive and well today, and that the Golden Age superheroes were revived, and certainly the books that they appear in are so collectible today, were the efforts of comic fandom through individuals such as Don and Maggie Thompson, Jerry Bales, and many, many others. Comic book fandom took off in the early 1960s, and conventions began, and of course, those folks who loved comics began to share ideas and thoughts with one another about Golden Age comic books and other comic books, and the rest is history. So we owe a great debt to comic book fandom, and maybe in the near future we can do a show about comic book fandom and talk to some of those individuals who were so involved with the early efforts of comic book fandom. Of course, comic book fandom is alive and well today on the internet and in other places. I can't tell you how many resources are out there on the web through private pages and otherwise where individuals have put up fan sites for Golden Age comics, and I certainly applaud the efforts of those individuals in doing that. All you have to do is go to Google or any other search engine and type in the name of your favorite Golden Age superhero, and you'll find lots of references on the web aimed at those particular characters. So I applaud everyone who's out there moving forward in the world of comic fandom on the internet and otherwise, and keeping the Golden Age of comic books alive and well. Well, that's going to do it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the Golden Age of comic books for August 15th, 2005. I enjoyed talking a little bit about the Golden Age Flash and some of his adventures. I enjoyed talking about some of the resources available to look into the history of the Golden Age of comics. Once again, congratulations to Heritage Comics Auctions for the sale of the original cover art of Batman number 11 by Fred Ray with inks by Jerry Robinson. $195,500 is just a phenomenal and fantastic price for, as Ben Samuels put it in our interview with him, a grail piece from the Golden Age of Comics. As always, please support the Grand Comic Book Database Project by visiting their website at comics.org. Once again, this is, in my opinion, the premier website available to research and look at the history of comic books generally, and of course, the Golden Age of Comics. Please support ACTOR, the comic book fund available on the web, supporting those individuals who brought us the Golden Age of Comics. You can visit their website at actorcomicfund.org. And if you have a minute, take a trip over to podcastalley.com and vote for the Golden Age of Comics as a podcast that you enjoy listening to each week. I certainly enjoy producing the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast and appreciate all the support I've been getting over the last number of weeks that I've put the show out. I really appreciate all the emails and comments I've gotten and look forward to many more. But take a few minutes, if you don't mind, and go over to podcastalley.com and place a vote for the Golden Age of Comics so I know that you're enjoying the show and the content that we have been putting out there for you to listen to. Also, if you don't mind, go on over to goldenagecomics.org, our website, and visit our blog page at goldenagecomics.libsyn.com. Leave the comments there on the blog page about the podcast, and we will certainly do our best to put into practice what you preach about the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast. Once again, we appreciate everybody joining us this week, and we look forward to talking to you next time.